sermon. Again, listen for the question in it.
Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and can be found on page 958 of your pew Bible. I will be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Believers are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know if you remember it, but we've been here before. Not the specific teaching by Jesus, but one very similar to it. In Mark chapter 9, and this is a passage we looked at before, Jesus says, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Even tax collectors do that. If you greet only your own people, what more are you doing than others? Even people who are ungodly do that." The expectation in that teaching was that believers in Jesus Christ, followers of his, Christians, should do more than those who are not believers. When I say more, they should make a better difference, a bigger difference in the world. That's the expectation of Jesus. The same thought is in this passage, this text, about salt. And that's what I'm going to emphasize in the sermon today, the teaching about salt. The same thing, pretty much, is said about light. But I'm going to focus this morning on what it teaches us, what Jesus teaches us through salt. The main thing, again, is that followers of Jesus Christ are to make a positive difference to their world. When you are here, and when you leave this place especially, you have the opportunity given to you by Jesus Christ to make this world a better place. And when I say that, I mean by that to make your world, the world you populate, the people you meet, the place that you work, the school that you go to, all of that, you have been given by Jesus Christ the opportunity to make those situations better. And he uses the idea of salt to make that point. Let me tell you some things about salt. It's just kind of an interesting sort of historical situation about salt. Salt was obviously very important in ancient times. It was considered to be very valuable. It was a trade commodity. The Arabs of that time especially did a lot of dealing in salt. They would mine it and sell it to other cultures. They made a great amount of money doing that. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews would use salt as part of their covenant making, their agreements. If the salt was attached to or added to an agreement, either by putting it on the hands or on the tongue, it was thought to be a kind of agreement that could not be violated. It added strength and power to that agreement just because salt was added to it and what salt meant. Salt was part of was added to sacrifices, burnt offerings. Salt was used as an incense in the Old Testament. Salt was used to put on babies when they were born as a sign of dedication, a sign of separation, a sign of blessing for that child. Salt was used all manner of ways. In fact, salt was money. it was treated as money. It was in the Roman army, soldiers were often paid with salt. It might be, I came across this, but I kind of found it hard to believe. It might be that the saying that says someone is worth their salt comes from that practice, that soldiers were paid in salt. In fact, the word salary, the word we use, someone is paid a salary, that comes from the old Latin word for salt. Yes. Salt was a valuable part of society in the time of Jesus and before and after. It was valuable. A lesson we could learn from that. If Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, then we have, as followers of him, value. We are valuable because Jesus has declared us to be the salt of the earth. We have the ability to do what salt does and what salt did in that culture. First of all, salt was a preservative. It prevented or mediated decay. As followers of Jesus Christ, you may find this hard to believe, but you have the privilege in this world, in this culture, of being a source of prevention for decay. You, as followers of Jesus Christ, can prevent our world, our society, your friendships, your school, your job, your world. You can prevent the decay that takes place in this life. The decay morally, the decay in joy, the decay in manners, the decay. You, as a follower of Jesus Christ, have in you, according to Jesus, the ability to prevent or at least delay that decay. When you leave here this morning, think of yourself not only as someone who has something to add to your world, but someone who has in them the ability to prevent decay from happening. So, salt prevents decay. It also adds, obviously, flavor. How many of you, as a general rule, add salt to what you're eating? Yeah. Okay. I think we all do that. I do it. I used to do a lot more than I do now. We were at a Mexican restaurant one time, and they bring the chips, and I'm putting salt on the chips. Yeah, that was sort of my granddaughter's reaction, my 6-year-old granddaughter at that point. Grandpa, why do you put salt on the chips? If my granddaughter knows that's not good for me, I should know that that's not good for me. I did it because it added flavor. That's what salt does. It did it back then, and it does it now. Again, we as followers of Jesus Christ, because we are salt of the earth, have in us the ability, the right, the privilege of adding flavor to life. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to respond to each person." The teaching of Scripture is that our speech, our talk, our lives are to add flavor to life. We don't have to be creative conversationalists. We don't have to be people who everyone sees as being really good to talk to, and you're just the life of the party. No. The Apostle Paul says, in order to add salt, flavor to our speech, the key is to be gracious, to be kind, to not speak ill of others as other people do, to be forthcoming in our praise of others, to not be afraid to build others up, to not be afraid to embrace people with our speech, to say the good things we want to say about our own children, our own friends, and have never said. We are the salt of the earth. And we ought to say those good things that we mean to say and have not done so as yet. We ought to make their lives better, more worthy of living, more encouraging by what we say to them. That, in part, is what it means to add flavor to life. I confess that one of my original impressions of Christians, and it came from a small community church where I came to know what Jesus Christ had done for me. My impression was that largely their relationship with the world was to inform the world of all the things they were doing wrong. That they were defined by their don'ts. Obviously, there's important don'ts, okay? But I think that this word of Jesus, that we are to be salt, or that we are salt, and that we are to add flavor to the world, means that we ought to be people who bring encouragement, who bring life, flavor, to life. Do we do that? Jesus says, but if salt loses its saltiness. Now, I'm not a chemist, but I have read that pure salt cannot lose its saltiness. It can be diluted in other things, but it can't lose its saltiness. I'm going to stretch this a little bit. I think we should take some comfort in that. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you believe in Christ as your Savior, then the statement that you are the salt of the earth applies to you. And the saltiness of you might become diluted, might become polluted, but you don't lose it. You can't lose it. It's who you are. You may ignore it. You may not put it into practice, but it's who you are. You have that potential. It's there. So why does Jesus say if salt loses its saltiness? Well, a couple of reasons. One, big one, is that he's not teaching chemistry here. He's teaching discipleship, and he's using this as an illustration. He knows full well that salt does not lose its saltiness, but he wants to make a point. Also, the salt of Jesus' day was could be very impure. Came from the Dead Sea or the geography around the Dead Sea, which had an immense amount of salt in it. It would be mined, it would be processed, but it would also contain in it impurities. And sometimes those impurities were so great, such a high percentage of the salt, that the salt had to be thrown out. And when Jesus says it is only good for being trodden underfoot, in fact, that's what happened. This bad salt, this impure salt, would be placed outside on paths, etc., to prevent vegetation from growing, and to be useful. So when Jesus says it's only good to be tossed outside and trampled on, well, that's exactly what happened. I think for us, there is a lesson there. I think it's fair to say, in accordance with what Jesus said, and what we know about salt, that we cannot lose. We cannot lose who we are. Jesus declares us to be salt of the earth. Not make yourself the salt, not work on it, not become. You are. But if it's salt like it was in the time of Jesus, it can become polluted. It can certainly become diluted. It can feel like it's lost its flavor. I want to make the point, and I want this to be an encouragement to you, that Jesus has said that you are the salt of the earth. You walk out of here with that understanding. You walk out of here thinking, believing, knowing that Jesus has given you the privilege and the power to add flavor to life, to your life and the life of those around you. And he's given you the right, the responsibility, and the power to prevent decay in the world, in your world, with your friends, with your family, school, work, wherever it might be. You have, because you are, Jesus has declared you to be salt of the earth. You have in you the ability to prevent, minimize the decay of this world. But salt, as Jesus understood it, could also be impure. I want to encourage you about being salt, and I want to warn you about pollution to that salt. What are the polluters? Simple enough. Sin is the polluter. Sin in your life, unconfessed sin, undealt with sin, sin that is encouraged, fed, that will corrupt. That will add corruption to your saltiness. So I want to warn you about that. It is with reason that Jesus says that we are to be holy as God himself is holy, so that we might be good witnesses to this world. Remember who you are. Remember who Jesus has said you are. You are the salt of the earth. Don't do anything to rob yourself of that privilege, that right, that power. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.